Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Always enjoy our time here. Let's now talk to our man Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, sponsored by Old National Bank. Get old. Greg, Four Nations face-off. So far, I'm a fan. How are you?
I'll let you know if I'm a fan after we play Canada on Saturday and after the championship on Thursday. No. Last night was exactly what this tournament needed. I talked to hockey people all day. There was a healthy skepticism about the quality of play in this tournament. Was there going to be hitting? Was it going to be a glorified all-star game? And I think last night's game with Canada and Sweden really answered those questions, that the games are going to be intense. The level of skill is going to be incredible. And you know, thanks to Sweden's comeback, you know, we got a little bit of drama last night in the overtime. So it was the perfect launching point for this new event. It put it on the radar of a lot of people. And then obviously the NHL hopes that the diehards and the casuals all tune in on Saturday night to watch the USA take on Canada.
I do know this. I got word this morning that Team Canada is going to get some citations because it's illegal to have Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Nathan McKinnon, Cale Makar, and Sam Reinhart all on the ice at the same time. That's basically their power play. And, like, I saw that and was like, how in the world do you defend that?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point NATO should step in with some sanctions to take away the weaponry that Canada has in their arsenal. It's incredible. I mean, if you didn't see the goal that they scored last night, it was Makar at the point to McDavid. He plays catch with Crosby for a second, and then Crosby sends a blind backhand pass to McKinnon for an unstoppable shot. Brad Marchand of Team Canada was asked the other day, how would you defend this power play? And he's like, teams should be allowed to put all three of their goalies in the net at the same time. and like, I don't even think that would have done the trick last night with how good that power play looked. I will note, though, and this is going to be hilarious for anybody who watches a second of the NHL, Canada did not get another power play the entire game, which is so typical of NHL officiating. Like, if you watch, like, an Edmonton game, and their power play is clicking at, like, 40% with McDavid and Draisaitl, they have a funny way of not getting a power play when they're up 3-1. And Canada had the lead in that game early. They kept the lead into the third period, and lo and behold, they didn't even get another second of power play time in that game after what they did on their first power play.
So I'm curious of your thoughts on overtime, because I they're doing NHL rules and all those things, but a 10-minute 3-on-3, I know the guys were saying last night they were absolutely gassed after that. I'm not a huge fan of the 3-on-3 in general. But I know there were talks of they try it here and then, you know, maybe adopt it in the NHL altogether. But what did you think about an extended 3-on-3?
Well, let me ask a question to your question. How do you feel about the shootout?
I don't know. The Predators they've been in one this year, I think. And so it was like, oh, this is exciting. Haven't seen this in a while, which is kind of what it was supposed to be, you know, when they put it in there. So it's gimmicky. I think they're both gimmicky, but I would rather have that and have a result than have a tie, because I think ties should not exist in pro sports.
I get you on that. I hate the shootout. I hate the idea that we've taken this team game and we end it in a situation where there's not a defenseman playing his position. There's not a pass attempted. It's a lousy way to finish off the previous, like, 65 minutes of team game that we saw.
Yeah.
So when I look at a 10-minute 3-on-3, I say to myself, okay, that's 10 minutes of time that you're giving to these incredible, talented athletes to figure out a way to end this game before we get to a shootout. And I think if you give them that kind of runway, and even the most boring 3-on-3 has a few moments where somebody misses a shot, and then for the next minute and a half, it's like a Looney Tunes cartoon. Like, it's just crazy. And so if you do that over the course of 10 minutes, I think you probably reduce shootouts to nothing. You reduce shootouts to being extremely rare. And then to your point, then they actually become kind of cool because you never get to see them. So I'm in favor of expanding 3-on-3 to 10 minutes and giving these guys all the chance in the world. The other innovation in this tournament, though, is that it's the first time the NHL is rolling out the idea of giving 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, 1 point for an overtime loss. And that's kind of the sidebar of that Canada game last night, is that they blew a third period lead and left a point on the table. They only get 2 points for that win last night. So depending how things go against the U.S. on Saturday, depending how Sweden does for the rest of the tournament, that point that they lost last night could maybe come back into play later in the tournament.
You know, Greg, I know it's an honor to play for your home country, but if I'm a GM and my star player is playing in this four-nation tournament, I'm on the edge of my seat, and I'm not sure I'm happy about that. Has there been any scuttlebutt from GMs about one of their star players? And I hate you talk injuries, they might happen or whatever, but any talk about, I'm not so sure I want my star player in this thing?
Well, we already had an injury last night. Shea Theodore of the Vegas Golden Knights is out of the tournament. He injured his hand, bracing himself on a hit from Adrian Kempe of Sweden. I don't know what the X-ray result was. All I know is that John Cooper said he's not playing the rest of the tournament, which, of course, opened up an interesting conversation about Vegas. Are they happy or sad that one of their guys can go on long-term injured reserve? Vegas famous for stashing those guys on long-term injured reserve and then using their salary cap space at the trade deadline. But obviously you never want to see a guy get hurt. Yeah, that's the scary part about all of this. That's the scary part about sending the boys to the Olympics. It's playing in these exhibition tournaments that have nothing to do with the playoff race in the regular season. And that's why you saw, for example, the Vancouver Canucks and Quinn Hughes have a real come-to-Jesus conversation about, hey, buddy, you're not 100%. We're in a playoff race. You've been our MVP. Ultimately, it's your call, but here's what our doctors are saying, and maybe wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it's better if you stay home, and he's not playing for the U.S. So it is a gamble, but that's why you got to give credit to the players and give credit to the teams, their investment in this. You can count on one hand the number of guys that have asked out of this tournament for injury concerns, because everyone else who was named to the rosters is pretty much playing.
So let's flip it on a guy like Juuse Saros, who's not having the best year. We all can admit that. He goes to this tournament, Greg, and he plays lights out and shuts out these teams. What can that do for a guy like him who's having that rough year when he goes out there and he shuts down three other nations, some of the best players on the planet?
Well, it could definitely give you some confidence back, right, for the rest of the regular season. But it also speaks to something that's unique about these kinds of events. And it's the same thing that players say about the outdoor games that they play during the regular season, which is that they could come at a time when you don't want them to come. You know, if you're a team that was absolutely rolling, you didn't want to see this break show up and break your momentum, and now you got to come back and build it back up again. That's kind of a bummer. But if you're not playing well and you have one of these events as kind of like a break in your season or a chance to just kind of like do something else for a little bit and get your mind off the spiral that is your season, sometimes it can be transformative. Sometimes it could be the therapy that you need. And in the case of a guy like Juuse, I mean, Lord knows, playing for Finland and maybe playing well for Finland could certainly go a long way in trying to get his head right in what's been a really rough season for him.
I always like to look at teams when they head into the break, how well they're playing. And this Winnipeg team, Greg, hits the break winning 8 straight games. I mean, what are they doing so well that nobody seems to be able to figure out? And this team looks like, okay, they've hit a plateau and they've lost again. Then they win 5 more. What are they doing so well in Winnipeg?
I mean, their foundation is the best goalie on the planet. So that's always a good place to start. Hellebuck has been incredible for them. Hopefully he continues to be incredible for the U.S. in this tournament. But, you know, when you look at the percentage of games that he's won, it's astounding. I think at one point in recently, it was like the Jets won 37 games and he had 33 wins of those games. So, I mean, he's just been responsible for a lot of the things that have gone right for them. And when things have not worked out for them in other departments of the team, he's always been there as a steadying presence. But they score a lot of goals. Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor, they've got some good offensive depth on that team. But for the thing that impresses me most about them, and it's something that I wrote about earlier this year, they've really kind of got their minds in the right place insofar as using the regular season to build things with an eye towards the playoffs, not get too high, not get too low, just sort of keep the train rolling and working on, you know, what you need to do to be better players, because they've had a couple of regular seasons now where they've done well, and then they go to the playoffs and they get absolutely whacked. So I think they've got the right mindset, they've got the right talent mix, and they, of course, have a goaltender that gives them the confidence that they can be okay if other parts of the team aren't working out right.
Well, I'm just glad the NHL Jets have it figured out, because the NFL Jets have definitely not figured it out.
I saw a report this morning that we might draft Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, which is the state of affairs of our quarterback situation right now. It's going to be like Tyrod Taylor, whatever's left of Kirk Cousins if the Falcons cut him, and then maybe Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. Like, I don't know. I mean, I didn't want Rodgers back.
He ain't bad.
Who, Jackson?
Well, 8 minutes ago, they tweeted, "We have informed Aaron Rodgers that we will be moving on in a different direction." I'm like, okay, thanks. I think we knew that.
We knew that. Yeah. I mean, listen, what he did in basically what was garbage time for the rest of that season does not mean anything to me. And the guy is still one hit away from being out. You know, so.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was a circus. I do find it funny, though, that, like, what probably caused the final schism between the two was, like, the new coach is being like, stop doing McAfee. And he's like, absolutely not. And I'm just like, all right. Happy trails, man. Enjoy probably the rain.
Right.
One more for Greg Wyshynski is with us. One more for you on hockey. You know, the trade deadline is approaching, and I found it interesting because I had somebody from the front office of the Preds kind of explain this to me, that there's not really a roster freeze going on right now during this break. So, you know, trades could potentially happen or conversations could happen. How active do you think GMs are going to be, though, once the break is over and play resumes?
Oh, it's a real mystery. I mean, there's been some reporting about how their players have been told, hey, listen, we know this is a break for you, but there's a chance the trades are going to occur over this 2 weeks. And I do expect there's going to be at least some action. But that being said, I mean, I think there's a reason why we had a mad dash of stuff getting done right before the Four Nations tournament, the Rantanen trade, the JT Miller trade, and, you know, Pittsburgh and Vancouver do their business. It's a bunch of stuff, big stuff happened right early on. And then the trade deadline's March 7th. So when this thing is done, there's still a decent amount of real estate before we get the actual trade deadline. So I'm guessing there's going to be most of the business done after this tournament. I know the NHL, when they do these big events, typically likes there not to be anything that overshadows the event. I think that's probably a factor too. But then once this thing is done, I mean, hell, there might be a trade completed by the time the guys are getting their medals after that championship game next Thursday. That's how quickly things are going to move.
For sure. Going to be interesting. Enjoy the rest of the Four Nations tournament. Looking forward to getting your thoughts on that next week. So thanks so much. We'll talk to you then.
Anytime. Talk to you soon.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program from ESPN, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.